Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are exploring the office of minister, a minister of the church. And we find that term in Colossians 1:25, and that's why we are exploring it, where the Apostle Paul says, of the church of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship of God. Paul, as we've seen on previous broadcasts, was a minister of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an apostle, but he was a minister. And we've been exploring what that word minister meant to him, because whatever it meant to him, it probably ought to mean the same thing to us. At least that's what I would gather. And what we've learned is that that word minister actually is the Greek word diakonos, which means a servant. And so what is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is a minister of the church or of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is first and foremost a servant of Christ and, maybe more importantly for our thinking, a servant of the church. A minister is first and foremost a servant of the church. He serves Christ by serving the church. And he serves Christ by serving the church in the way that Christ tells him to serve the church. He doesn't serve the church in the sense that the church is the master and he does whatever the church tells him to do. It's not that kind of servant-master relationship. Not at all. His master is the Lord Jesus Christ. He does what Christ tells him to do in regard to serving the church, but he does so with a servant's heart, a servant's attitude, a servant's demeanor. He does it always remembering, I'm doing this to serve others for Christ's sake. I am first and foremost a servant. Paul was, I am, and I don't want to ever forget it. I want to always keep that in mind. And I pray that all of us shall do that. And that's the first thing that Paul meant when he said, I am a minister of the church. But there's more, and we will look at that on this Tuesday, March 1. We're glad you've joined us, and we thank those whose gifts help us continue ministering on this station. So, a minister is first of all a servant of the church. What is it secondly? A manager over the church. Can those two things go together? They do in the Bible. It's amazing how we've become people of extremes, and we can't seem to balance two truths that could be competing truths, but don't need to be. How can you be a servant and a manager and an overseer? Well, you can if you understand it biblically, because that is exactly what the Bible teaches. You say, where do you get that in that text? The concept of steward. Again, reading 1:25, Paul says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you. The stewardship. Does Paul have responsibility for the Colossian believers? He was not the founder of that church. He was not a pastor of that church. He'd never been to that church. But he still did, and if so, how? Well, because he understood the concept of steward. And that's a word that is found a number of times in the New Testament, and it's a very, very instructive word. It is a compound word made up of the Greek word for house and the Greek word that means to manage. And so literally it meant a household manager. Joseph was a steward in Potiphar's house in the book of Genesis. He was a household manager, an administrator. In that case, he was in charge of everything in the house except, as Joseph said, when Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to commit immorality with her, he said, "My lord, your husband, my lord has placed everything at my disposal except you." That was a pretty important position. He was in charge of everything. It was his responsibility to oversee, to manage everything in the house. In other words, to manage all the other employees, all the other servants. No doubt they were probably all slaves. To manage the finances, to assign the work, to oversee the work, to make sure that it was being done properly, to make sure that the household was running properly from a financial standpoint. I mean, everything was his responsibility. This was a huge responsibility. He was the manager of Potiphar's house. And that's what a steward is. It's one who's appointed to oversee a household on behalf of the owner. He doesn't own anything. Joseph in Genesis didn't own anything. It all belonged to Potiphar, but it was all administrated by Joseph. He was the manager of it all. And in the Bible, stewards were often slaves, but they were trusted and capable servants or slaves, ones who had earned the trust of the master and to whom the master could safely entrust the operation of his farm or the operation of his large house or the operation of his business, whatever that stewardship involved. And the steward, therefore, was one who managed the finances and supervised the other servants. We read about an unjust steward in Luke chapter 16 who also had an incredible amount of authority, but he abused it. He was not a faithful steward. He was an unjust, that is, an unrighteous steward. He wasn't operating those things or managing those things in a trustworthy way for the welfare of the owner, like he was supposed to be, but he misused those things for the benefit of himself. That's why he was an unjust steward. And so, really, a steward is a rather strange combination of lowliness and exaltation. A steward owns nothing, but he manages everything. A steward is under authority because he doesn't own it and he answers to his master, but he exercises authority, in some cases a great deal of authority. A steward is accountable to the one who placed him in his stewardship, but he has a lot of people under him who are accountable to him. And a steward is subject to both penalty and reward. If he carries out his responsibilities faithfully, he's going to be rewarded, and in most cases, highly rewarded, because if he has managed his master's goods to the financial benefit of the master, which is what he's supposed to be doing, then he's going to get some share of that as a reward for what he has done. And the most important qualification for a steward, according to the scripture, is that he be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That is, diligent in his work, honest in his work, remembering in everything that he's not the owner, he's the manager. And there's a lot of applications here, but one is, this applies to what all of us are. Paul wasn't the only steward here. When he tells us that he was a minister according to the stewardship from God, the teaching of Scripture is actually that all Christians are stewards. We've all been given a stewardship, though it varies. Some have what we would say from an earthly standpoint are smaller stewardships than others who may have larger ones, but we're all stewards. We are entrusted with certain goods of our master that we are to manage for his glory, for his welfare, and we're going to give an account someday for how well we have done that. A number of Christ's parables speak to that very issue. Servants of a master who were given talents, and it was their responsibility to enlarge those talents. Talents was a unit of money in that day. To increase those talents and to bring the increase to the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you 5 talents, you've returned to me 10. So enter into the joy of your Lord, and I will make you ruler over many cities. There is reward for a faithful steward. But the most important qualification for a steward is just to be faithful, to remember that he is managing something that belongs to another. And dear friend, is that the way you view your finances? Too many of God's people view their finances as, this is mine, and I'll give a portion to the Lord. Well, I'm glad you plan to give a portion to the Lord, and that's not entirely inappropriate language. It's appropriate at times to say that. I'm glad you intend to give a portion to the Lord. I hope you understand your responsibility to do that. But what you really need to understand is it all belongs to Him, and you're going to return a suitable portion as a reminder of that. This isn't my money, it's His money. This isn't my bank account, it's His bank account. This isn't my paycheck, it's His paycheck. This isn't my house, it's His house. This isn't my car, this is His car. These aren't my anythings. They all belong to Him, and I'm managing them for His glory, and my job is to return as much of this to Him as I possibly can. When Jesus told that parable of the unjust steward, He told it to His disciples, and then He drew some applications from it. By way of contrast, don't be like this unjust steward, except in one respect. He showed a lot of initiative, and He showed a lot of focus. He was focusing diligently upon padding his own pocket, lining his own pockets in regard to the future as he understood it, which looked pretty bleak because he'd been fired, interesting story, but allowed to continue on in his job for a period of time after he was fired, and that's the time he used to take advantage of his master royally. He'd already taken advantage of him before then, but he's really going to go to it now until the very last day. And Jesus said, that's wicked, that's wrong, that's sinful, but I say unto you, you know, the Lord commended the unjust steward, not because he had done righteously, but because he had done wisely. There was some wisdom in what he did, if you understand it in the right way. And Jesus said, I say to you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What's he talking about? Instead of lining your own pockets to take care of your retirement on earth, as the unjust steward was doing, you should be managing those resources and laying them up in heaven for people to meet you in heaven that you have brought into the kingdom of God by your faithful management, faithful stewardship of these resources upon earth. You are returning them to the master. You're using them for the advancement of his kingdom, for his interest, and to bring souls into the kingdom who will meet you and greet you someday in heaven. And that's the way that you are supposed to exercise your stewardship. Do it diligently. Do it faithfully. Do it zealously. Do it with all your might, with however many days God gives you upon the earth, because when you leave this world, you'll be so glad that you did. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.